Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Well, as we've come together this morning, I broke into the ski closet and had to get out a sweater that I thought would feel good for the day. And I don't know, I'm one of those strange people that when it gets cold, I find a way to enjoy it. And I think that that's something that God can put in us is the capacity to be joyful and happy in all things, because we're not so much looking at what's happening. We're just thankful that we're in the middle of what's happening and we're here to experience it and that it's good. This morning at 4:30, I found out that one of the truck tires was low, so I thought I'd drive Lucinda's car, and got in Lucinda's car, and it didn't want to turn over, so I went back in the house and put on heavy clothes, went out and put air in the tire, and cranked up the truck and let it run a good 20 minutes, like probably most of you had to do to get here. So thank you for remembering we live in the north. We've not had a dose of it in a little while, so it's a good reminder. And as I turned on the television this morning, it said 10 below zero in Gibson City. I said, if I were in Vermont, or if I were in high altitude Colorado, where I spent many, many winters in those places, it would be a normal morning getting up and going to work. And I remember the routine is just a little different. You usually get dressed twice. You get dressed to go out and deal with the car and deal with the weather and deal with the chores and deal with the animals if you have them and deal with whatever, deal with the heat pipes, deal with, and I heard a number of stories this morning. You deal with everything, then you come in and shave and shower and put on some clothes to go to church. And if you didn't discover that, maybe you blended those things today and you feel a little rough. The presence of God won't change because we're a little rough. He's not moved by our circumstances, and we ought to not be either, except just to decide we're going to enjoy it. And I think that's one of the things that makes our life unique, is we get to choose whether we want to be joyful in all things or not. And I've learned that the secret to all of that is allowing ourselves to be filled with the Spirit of God, because He's all about joy. And when I'm not feeling it, I need to get more in touch with Him. And if you're not feeling it today, I believe you'll be more in touch with Him before you go. And He'll begin to stir up some joy in you. Well, thank you for coming out this morning. I know that it's an endurance race. Lucinda's home recovering, like much of the county. And here the policy is, you can be faith-filled at home when you're sick. You don't need to come here to prove that you're faith-filled when you're sick. Stay home, cough, do your coughing and sneezing there, all right? And why, everybody else that's healthy appreciates, and we don't need anything else extra to deal with. So just want you to kind of know that's pastor's outlook on faith. It's not circumstantial. So you're dealing with ugly circumstances of sickness, stay home and we'll pray for you. Scripture says, call for the elders of the church. It didn't say come to them. It said, call for them. All right. I'll let you know that. So don't call me if you have the flu to come to you. I'll pray with you though. Call me for that. Psalm 16. This morning as I woke in the early hours, I went to bed early so I'd wake up early, and I wanted to be up at 4, and the Holy Spirit has a way of doing that. I had a perception last night when I went to bed, what I'd prepared wasn't what I was going to bring today. And I told the Lord, I said, I really have in my heart just to interact with people and exhort and encourage. So much here we value teaching, and I appreciate that you love to be taught, because you will gain the most overall from hearing the teaching of the Word and putting it to practice in your life. And we gain a lot by hearing the Word that way. But there's times that I believe the Holy Spirit just wants to kind of reach into our head, reach into our heart, and encourage us a little bit. If you didn't know it, that's how God messes with you. He doesn't bring trouble your way. He's not into that. He likes to encourage us to expect the good and make us think about that. Because Scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, as a woman thinks in her heart, that's how we're going to be. And I truly believe that, because I in no way represent the person I used to be. And I challenge myself every so often, am I improving? Am I thinking on right things? Am I letting God get into my head? Because a lot of it is what goes on in here. Scripture calls it renewing our mind. Well, the older I get, the more of that I want. I just decide the more of that's good for me. So if I'm talking to you and I seem to stammer in the middle of a sentence, my mind is being renewed. I might have forgotten something I need to remember. And that's just a little joke for those of you that are old enough to appreciate it and understand what I'm talking about. But I am thankful that God is not looking at our lives as a series of performance things. He is looking simply at a love relationship, and He knows what we haven't expressed yet, but He's longing for us to express it. I've never met a person yet that hasn't told me when they think they're going on to be with Jesus, or they think they're dying, or they're really, really sick and contemplating that it might be the end. I've never heard anybody that doesn't have some regret, wishing they had said more good things, wishing they had expressed more love. And I think it's a picture of God's heart toward us. He's wishing that we would hear what it is that He's trying to say. And He wishes that we would share some of what He's saying to us with other people. I determined going into this next year, I don't make a lot of resolutions, but I do make some promises to the Lord. I believe in listening for what He wants and then agreeing to do my best to do it. Doesn't make me perfect, doesn't say that I'm going to perform like a well-oiled machine. It means that I'm going to be conscious of letting Him get in my head to up some things in me, to increase His influence in the earth, to increase good. You always know if God's in it, if it's doing something good. Sometimes the process doesn't seem good, but the end results are good. I've learned if we look in the middle of process of what's going on, we can be discouraged. We just need to trust Him that in the end, good will prevail because He's there. And that's who He is. This morning as we begin, we're going to be in Psalm 16 today, and this will be a little different. You can anticipate this coming year something that the Holy Spirit wants to do. I spend a lot of time asking the Lord. And those of you that know me know that my first ministry is prayer. It's not teaching or preaching or any of the other things that I do. It's prayer. And as I pray, I've learned to listen more than I speak. Because the Lord desires to let us know His desire. And I've learned a great value in knowing about what God wants. If I line up with what He wants, He takes care of my wants. He loves when we put Him first. That's just one of the ways that we do that. And I've learned to do that by just when I'm praying, say, Lord, what can I pray that You want to see come to pass? How can I pray for Your people? How can I pray for Your will in the earth? How can I pray for somebody overseas that needs prayer right now that may not have anybody? And you'd be amazed what the Holy Spirit will do interacting with you. Get ready this year for increased interaction with a God who's not wanting to do anything to hurt you. He's wanting to prevail in your life to bless you. There's no better thing that can happen to a person than a sense of overall well-being, knowing that you're in the hand of God. And when I talk about interacting with Him, that's what interaction is like. Scripture teaches that we're to lay hands on people. Well, it says that in the Scripture because that's kind of how God is. He wants to get His hands on you. He wants to get His hands in your business. He wants to get His hands in your thoughts. He wants to get His hand on the family. He wants to get His hand on everything that pertains to you. So expect in the coming year in our services like this, something that I know He's shown me is things are going to be kind of like going back to they were in the earlier days of this ministry where there was a lot of interaction by the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit in operation. And you could expect in any given service, I don't know, 10 or 20 people might have their name called by what the Lord wants to do for them. If that makes you nervous, it means you need to repent of something, all right? And I don't believe you're nervous. Nobody got up and ran out. And you know, God doesn't call us out on the carpet for what's wrong in our life anyway. So I want to put you at ease about that. He will use those moments to make us think, is everything right between me and the Lord? Is everything right between me and the people in my life? Because that's important to Him. But He doesn't call us out publicly for those things. He calls us out publicly to bless us, to encourage us, to inspire us, to motivate us, to reveal something to us. He wants to make life better. So that's who he is. So don't be nervous about that. And if the seating arrangement changes a lot, I'll start preaching from the back when we go to those services. Now, this excited me this morning. You know, Pastor doesn't know everything that comes across that he knows sometimes. I said last night as I went to bed, I know what I've got ready isn't really what I'm going to be doing in the morning, and I'm going to trust you to show me, and I'm not going to get anxious about it. I'm just going to trust you. And I thought he'd tell me before I went to sleep, you know, because I was a little anxious. And but he didn't, and I drifted off to sleep, slept real good till about 3:45, and woke up just like a shot. And the Holy Spirit said to me clearly, take the people through Psalm 16. And my next thing wasn't eloquent. It was, Lord, I don't even know what it says my own self. I've got to go look. Why? I don't know everything. It sounds like I know. I just have to go and look just like you do. So I'm putting you at ease this morning that this is fresh, all right? And I've learned in my life when God brings it, fresh is the best. I don't know about at your house, but if there's cookies cooking in the oven, hot right out of there where it almost burns the palm of your hand is good. Those chocolate chips are just right there. And I kind of believe that that's how God wants us to have it. And it's a matter of being in the kitchen when he's cooking something up and standing there unashamedly saying, I want mine. He wants that from us. So this morning, I believe you'll do like Jesus said. He said, if we're hungry and thirsty, we're going to be satisfied and we're going to be filled. And I can't make you be that. You have to decide to be that. You know, I've been asked to lunch before when I'm not hungry. I don't usually eat lunch, really. But if somebody asks me to lunch and I go to lunch and I smell something good or I see something good on the menu, I decide I'm going to be hungry because I don't want to miss out. And that's more the picture of how things work with God. You know, we may not think we're in any need until we hear what he's serving. Then we might decide to eat some. I don't know how many times I've been at the Kendricks and thinking I'm going to avoid dessert, and then I hear it's chocolate pie. I've got to have that. I mean, that's just an example of that's how the goodness of God is. When we come to church, we should be listening for that thing that we didn't know we desired. And when we hear it, go, I'm going to take some of that. That's how we become satisfied if we're hungry and thirsty. It is not the hunger and thirst that does it. It's the urge to reach out and take what we need when it's given. And I want to tell you something about spiritual things. After you go away, it'll get stale. Eat it while you're here. All right. We had a rule in our house. If you were going to eat anything major, you did it at the table. All right, and I'm talking about growing up, not nowadays. Nowadays, I sit in my chair if I want to eat, and I eat at my chair, but not as a kid. And the rule is you could have a snack away from the table, but you ate dinner at the table with the family. I want you to know that God looks at an assembly like this as a major input into your life. And it isn't just, you know, that we're here, and I'm not just saying that as your pastor. I'm just telling you that God doubles down on his people to bless them when we come together. So much so he says when two or three are gathered together in his name, he's in the middle of that. So he's really in the middle of this. This is verse 1, preserve me, O God, for I put my trust in you. That's the key to everything. Putting our trust in him. This morning I want you to consider and begin saying over this year, Lord, I put my trust in you. Because this year probably some things did not work the way you thought they would. You got a surprise, you got a shock, you got a tragedy in some cases. You experienced a loss maybe. And you thought, well, what in the world? How is this happening to me? This is life. And what we do when we're experiencing life and it doesn't go the way we think or the way we imagine God's plan, we want to say out of our mouth, Lord, I trust you. Because he doesn't cause the problems, he solves them. And I want to turn to him, and that's how I do that. Scripture teaches an overarching truth in the New Testament. We will have whatsoever we say. So I've learned to say out of my mouth what I'm going to have, really with everything. And I say continually to the Lord, I love you and I trust you. I know you have only the best in mind for me, and I'm not going to miss out on that. I thank you that I'm alive and alert enough to perceive what it is that you're wanting to do in me, and I'm quick to agree. When I was a little child, folks said I was a little slow to comply. They called me stubborn. Well, I've said since I've grown up and I've become a little bit more responsible spiritually that I'm not that way with the Lord, that I'm his easiest kid, that I'm compliant, that I just respond to him. And you know what? I believe it's helped me. I haven't been called bullheaded in, I don't know, been quite a while, Brian. It's a surprise. You might have thought it, but you didn't say it, did you? Now, verse 2 says, I have said unto the Lord. Why, it's important to say. It's important to say. Pastor can say things over you, and it'll have an effect. It'll have an impact. But when you say it over you, you have the greatest authority in your own life. When you say it, you're saying, God, I'm going to put your words in my mouth, and I'm going to have what I say. You're not going to have what pastor says for you, though I might encourage you and point you in the right direction. You're going to have what you say about you. I have said unto the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness does not come to your attention. I'm not good enough to get your attention with goodness, God. But we both see the saints that are in the earth, and I look to the excellent. In other words, he's saying, there's better examples than me of saints. But I look to the excellent in whom is all my delight. In other words, God, I'm going to give you credit. I'm going to tell you, I know I'm nothing special. Did you know it's good to say that to God? Because we already know that. We already know that we should not have too high an opinion of ourselves. We ought to say, I would say it this way. Lord, I'm not among the top saints that you've got, but I'm among them. But I'm going to look to those more excellent in their walk with you than I am, because I'm going to learn something from them. I'm going to learn about your ways by somebody who knows a little bit more about your ways. I'm the kind of guy, when I get into a new situation, I like to watch how things are done. First time I went out skiing, I didn't move for an hour because I fell down. I watched people for a while and decided they know some things I don't know, and I'd rather learn them by zeroing in on somebody that knows, maybe asking a question. That's why we're together. That's why God put people in the church that might be ahead of you. And if you are one of those that's ahead of somebody, you're meant to be observed to help. Doesn't mean you know everything. I ask people a lot of times, can you help me with this? And they're like, I don't know anything about that, Pastor. Well, the next thing I say, well, do you know anybody who does? Why, I'm not likely to give up. And we want to look forward to this coming year, having that mindset, kind of like the little 18-month-old child that keeps asking you, why? When do I get that? How does this work? Or the little boy that tears everything apart and doesn't know how to put it back together, but that's how you learn to put things together. And we want to think like a little child that way. He's talking about looking to the excellent to get our eyes off of what is not. Another thing that I would anticipate coming out of this year that will help you is limit the negative intake. So much of what's out there is decrying doom and gloom that if we're not careful, we start talking about that. And we're supposed to talk about the goodness of God. That's why he says, I'm going to look to the excellent, because I'm going to end up going toward what I'm looking at. We have what we say, but we move in a direction toward what we're looking at. And those are two basic principles that are true of our Christian walk. And if we're looking to him first, if we're looking to Jesus first, he'll not only be the author of good things to come, he'll be the one to see it through. He'll be the finisher too. Now, says, I delight in the same people and the same things that God does. That's what he's saying there. When you look at the notes today, it'll say, I choose to delight in the people that God would delight in. Every so often I make a statement like this, make Jesus the hero of your family, not the sports stars or the actors or actresses or anybody else. Now, I like a good movie. I'm going to go see Star Wars before long. We weren't able to go because we got sick the day that we had tickets at the luxury theater with our kids, and they got to take friends at our expense, and we didn't even get to see it. And I'm a world premiere guy in 1977, so I wanted to see that when it came out, and I did not get to. But I don't look to, I couldn't tell you who the people are. I don't look to their character in the movie, or their character in person to want to emulate. I might enjoy the story that they portray, but it's nothing more than a story. If I'm going to choose who to make a star, or who to admire. I'm going to look at their whole story, and did it end well? Jesus ascended to heaven. He's not done yet, but that's the closest to a good ending that I can desire, because I want to go out the same way he did and come back with him when he comes back again. So when we make the right people and the right things to be before us, we're going to move in that direction. I'm living proof that God can change you into something much different, a person much different than you started out to be. Now, verse 4 says, sorrow shall be multiplied to them that hasten after another god. In other words, they're going to get in trouble. And that doesn't mean they have to be worshiping Buddha or somebody like that. It might mean that they love their job or their car or something else more than God, their boyfriend, their girlfriend, whatever. Say, really, Pastor? Yeah. It's really easy in our culture to have other gods. I want to encourage you this year to become tender about that. Say, Lord, is there anything keeping me away from fellowship? Is there anything keeping me away from regularly worshiping you? Is there anything, am I making excuses for not going to church or not reading my Bible or not having the right attitude when I pray? What I've learned to listen to is when I'm making excuses for myself, it means I've got a problem. Can you agree with that? I mean, most of your kids aren't in here. Some of you have kids in here. But when we start making excuses, something needs to change. And we tend to want to point that something else or somebody else needs to change. When recognize this or know this about yourself, you don't let anybody change you except you. And if you're wise, you'll let Jesus get in there and change you. It takes the power of God to make changes like that. Now, he goes on to say, I will not fellowship with them or mention their names. This is the psalmist saying that, not God. But he's saying, I'm not gonna spend time there. I'm not going to mention their names. That's kind of strong. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Lord, you maintain my whole lot. That means you're my source and you're the one watching out for me. But he gives us a caution in wanting God to watch out for us. We pay attention to him. Did you know if you need a warning, he already has it in mind? But he can't give it until we ask. It's kind of like driving down the road in the dark in the middle of the night in a blizzard without my glasses and no lights on. I am likely to have to creep really slowly or get in big trouble. How much better to use all the tools I have, especially turning the lights on? How much better to do that? And he wants us to think of our relationship with him that way. You can fly blind or you can fly enlightened. Now, verse 6, the lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. That means that God has written his word that the scriptures are to give us boundaries. Boundaries are a good thing. Boundaries protect us. Boundaries help keep us out of trouble. Boundaries also cause the sin nature to rise up. Boundaries always also cause curiosity to come. So the fallen nature of man is when God creates a boundary, we, like the old cow that sees grass on the other side, wants to crane the neck through there at our own peril of maybe getting choked as we swallow what's on the other side. But he's saying, God, I know you've given me lines to protect me. I want you to understand the main way the mercy of God works in our lives is we learn what those boundaries are. And we ask, Lord, help me respect that. Help me not only not live in a way that the world does that doesn't give God glory, but help me avoid every appearance of evil. Scripture says that. But mostly today I see among a lot of Christians even a thinking that the boundaries means the rules were written to be bent or broken. And they were written by God to protect us. When we bend or break them, we come out from under that protection. When he says we're to put him first, when we don't, we lose some of that sense of safety and security and direction. If I could get in the head of the wise old cow, it learns to not crane its neck through the fence. And it's looking at all the young ones saying, I wouldn't do that if I was you, because there's an electric wire in there. And if that doesn't work and you get out, they're going to bring the corn scoop to put you back in. Those of you that cattle probably have done that. You take the corn scoop and the cow knows to move or it's going to come down on her. Now, that's not a picture of what God does to us. But when we cross the boundaries and the lines, we get in trouble. Then we want to say, how did this happen to me? The value of teaching is this. It shows us where the boundaries are. Then we're to have a communion with God and say, God, I understand that you've got this boundary I need to respect. Help me do that. Help me get back in the place where I can be secure and safe and sound and not be moved by everything that I feel or everything that I see or all the bad stuff that I'm hearing about. Help me keep my confidence in you. And we come into a place where we feel secure. One of the greatest conversations of the coming year, both secular and in the church world, will be about security. We can take measures and means, and we have here, and we will continue to create and keep a safe place from harm, because the devil doesn't like people who love God. We know that. And the devil can make people crazy even when they're not 1 minute, they can be the next minute. So we take measures, but I'm going to tell you the greatest measure you can take. Say, God, am I within the lines of what your scripture says? Am I coming together every week with other believers? Do I have an accountability? Am I talking to you about the issues in my life? Am I considering you as my counselor? Are my desires lining up with your desires, or am I a renegade? When I asked the Lord about the condition of his children, he said, I want you to learn how to capture renegades. And I immediately thought of there's usually young bull calves that get out or half grown. Say they were made, I don't know, they were 600 or 700 pounds, and they could leap over the fence or just mow it over. They decided they were coming out no matter what. We say feeling their oats coming out of there. Be careful to not tempt God that way. Be careful this year to not take liberty to an extreme. To recognize the psalmist saying here, I'm going to say some things out of my mouth, God, and you're going to help it happen for me. You may not know where the lines are. The mercy of God works with us while we're learning. And as we learn, he expects us to come in there closer to him, because that's what the lines are about. Don't be thinking they're going to keep you from experiencing something wonderful. They're going to keep you experiencing the goodness of God and drawing closer to him. I've learned in my walk with the Lord, it's as though the lines come in. And what I've recognized about that, where others would say, well, Pastor, don't you think this is okay or that's okay? I'm not going to judge a liberty somebody else takes, but I'm going to enjoy not taking some liberties because I know it's brought me closer to the Lord. I know that my acknowledging that I don't need to do those things brings me closer to him, and it seems to please him. And after a while, you decide it's a pretty nice thing to feel like and know you're pleasing the Lord. It's one of the best things can happen to you. Verse 7, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. Oh, do we want that? My inner man also will instruct me in the night seasons. Gave you an example of that this morning. Many people don't believe that. Well, does God speak to you? I get asked that a lot because I talk about that pretty frequently. I said, yes, absolutely, he does on a daily basis, usually more than once a day. Why? Because I'm speaking to him. You know, Scripture says he'll talk back if we talk to him. Then it says we have to kind of tune in our ears to know how to hear what he's saying. The greatest way to know what he's saying, study your Bible. And as you study the truth there, your ear will be tuned in to truth. And you'll know when you're hearing something that lines up with God. It's not a oozy, weird spiritual experience. It's what's supposed to happen. Jesus himself said, my sheep hear my voice. So I started saying a long time ago, even when I wasn't hearing him. As a young pastor, I think, dear Lord Jesus, I've got to get up before the people and I don't know what you're saying. I'd go to the Bible and I'd know he said that, so I'd say something he already said. Did you know that works? Yeah. really well. That's how it is much of the time for us, is to go to the scripture and what he's already said and say, I know you said that. And when you said it including me. So I'm going to talk about that with you. And pretty soon, he'll bust into the conversation, interact with you. But he comes in with a still small voice where you question, is that you, Lord? You get more confident as time goes on because it'll line up with what you're reading in the Bible or what you're being taught in the scripture. It'll line up and you'll say, oh, it is him. Sounds like the same God. He's saying the same kind of thing. He's always good. If there's something coming that's not so good, I'd say, I think I'm going to step away from that and not trust that as the voice of the Lord, because he's always out to do good. Now, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. He's saying this anticipating the future. Why? We need counsel to make good decisions. You need counsel if you're a farmer to know what chemicals and what seed to order. It's coming up, isn't it? You haven't ordered yet, have you? But it's coming up pretty quick, right? Yeah. And if we sit back and just think, well, it's the same old, nothing stays the same, nothing. I know what we used years ago isn't even available anymore. You used to turn your skin yellow, those chemicals. We didn't know enough to not get it on us. The mercy of God's good. But things, as we go, things change. We want to understand God doesn't change. But he doesn't fall behind what's going on with us. He's ahead of all of that. So we want his counsel. He says, if you give me counsel, you'll give it to me even when I'm tired or sleepy. I say that sometimes to myself when I'm just really tired. Lord, if you're trying to talk to me, I'm sure sleepy right now, but you'll get through. You'll get through to me. I'm going to know if you're saying something. And I've learned that helps me to relax. That helped me relax last night when I knew what I was going to bring wasn't what I needed to bring. I had to learn to trust him there, and it was getting me ready for this message, if you didn't know that, getting me ready for the season, because he said there's an interactive time coming where the Lord wants to become so real to you by what he's saying to you and what he's doing in our services. He's a doing God. He proves his word by doing it. I want you to expect that. That's who he is. We don't just talk about him. We get in the middle of what he's doing. Now, verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. In other words, I'm keeping him right here. Scripture calls the Holy Spirit, in the Greek, the Paraclete. It means the one called alongside to help us. Called. He has to be called on. So he's saying here, if we want the counsel of God, we call on the Holy Spirit and imagine that he's there. I want you to understand how faith works for the most part. You imagine it happening just like you heard it. And I imagine him right here with me every time I call. And I've learned to trust that he is, whether I feel it or think it or not. I trust that his word is true. And he's there always for me to turn to. Why is he at my side? He's not going to force me to do anything. The Holy Spirit's not going to take you by the hand and lead you through life. He's going to walk with you. And he wants to be the counselor. He wants you to say, am I supposed to do this? Is this a good relationship in my life? Or is this going to get me in trouble? Is this the job I'm supposed to have? Why does it seem like it's not working right? Do I need to make a change with me, or do I need to make a change of location with my job? Do I need to make a shift? The Holy Spirit is not going to take us, or think of it this way, he's not going to grab your nose and pull you in God's direction to get your attention. He's going to wait and see what you ask and then look for you to begin to take a step, and that's when you're going to have a knowing. And when a step you're about to take, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I've been taking steps, look down, thought, I'm not doing that. Stepping in the mud or whatever, making a shift or a change. Sometimes we need to learn to be sensitive. When we're questioning God for counsel, we need to slow things down, become a little more cautious, and say, Holy Spirit, I call you alongside to help me. If I'm in the hospital or with the doctor and they can't figure out what's wrong, and I've had cases like that in my life, a number of them where they didn't think I would make it through something, I have learned to say, Holy Spirit, you are my counselor and you're going to help me. And you're my doctor's counselor, whether he knows it or not. So I'm calling you alongside to help me by helping him, because he's supposed to help me. Holy Spirit, work through him. And I've learned that that works every time. Some teachers of faith are almost indicate that it's wrong to expect the doctor to help you. Oh, it's very right. You just ask for the Holy Spirit to work through them. We say around here, get all the help you can get and keep on getting it. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be here a long time. Now, verse 9 says, therefore, because of all of these things, my heart is glad. Why, I've got a counselor I can call on anytime I want to. I've got a counselor I can call alongside. I remember many business situations. I don't have time to go into them. But many times, multiple thousands or even hundreds of thousands of dollars or millions of dollars would be at stake sometimes. And it wasn't my money, it was somebody else's money that I was helping to manage and work with. And I wouldn't know what to do. I would think, I'm really not qualified to be the one making this decision. And I represent my boss, and it is his money. So I need to represent him, and I need to think very carefully, how will I represent him in this situation, and how much risk would he take? And sometimes the risk outweighed my authority. And I'd try to call him, and he wouldn't answer the phone, and I think, oh, this is not the time to not be answering your phone. I don't call unless it's really, really, really important, because I don't like to bother my boss. I like to let him have his liberty. But when he wouldn't answer, I'd just say, all right, Holy Spirit, I can't call on the man who I answer to in this, but I'm calling on you to be my helper. Let me see through anything I need to see through. Help me make a wise decision and give me a little bit of room. And I'd look to who I'm negotiating with and say, can I get back with you in an hour? You need an hour? Yep, I need an hour. I want to chew on this a little while. And what I do is go chew on it with the Holy Spirit. Show me what I need to know. Now, when you start bringing God into things like that, Scripture says the blessing of God will bring in the good without adding any sorrow. Whether you work for yourself or you work for another person, you want to add good to your working situation. You want to add good to your family. You want to add good to your life in general without any sorrow. Only the Holy Spirit can do that, let me tell you. And I've learned that to invite him and involve him, I need to put myself in neutral for a minute. So I'm going to stand still and know that you are God and you are going to come alongside. And I've learned that he's faithful in what time constraints you have. Within that hour, he would always show up. And I could step out in confidence and know I was going to do the right thing. Now, therefore, my heart is glad. It ought to do something to us. When we're involving God the way we should, it ought to make us happy. My youngest brother got married yesterday, and I was in the wedding with another pastor. I don't even know his real name. I've never heard his real name. He's called Happy. I said, do they call you Pastor Happy? He said, just Happy. I said, why is that? He said, I choose to be that all the time. And I said, okay then, Happy. Felt weird. I like to call Pastor, but he said, just call me Happy. I said, you really like that? He said, it's helped me transform to that. He said, if you don't do that, this world will turn you every other kind of way but happy. And I thought about that a little bit. And I thought, Lord, that's the kind of joy that we have to walk in. And sometimes we have to change the way we talk about ourselves and hear ourselves. And sometimes as a spouse, you need to say what you want instead of what you experience. Have you ever done that? You're all afraid to admit it. Hi, sweetheart. How are you? Have you had a good day? And you know it's not been. Can I rub your shoulders? What is that? Eliciting the response that we know is needed by interaction. The Holy Spirit is not manipulating us any more than we're manipulating a person in close relationship. We are wanting to help them see the good, experience the good, have more joy, be happier, be more comforted, be more excited, be more inspired, and that's who God is. So when you're loving on somebody that way, God's in the middle of that now. Therefore, my heart is glad because I choose these things. And my countenance rejoices. Ever talk to anybody and you know they're having a mopey fit? And if you say, how are you? You've made the great mistake. Because mopey turns into words. And pretty soon it can turn into something other beyond mopey. So what do? If you start expressing, how are you, instead of saying how they are, there's a difference. I can tell you've had a tough day, but I'm here to change that. Some people go, what? That's the goodness of God. It seems strange to us at first. We think we have to defend our right to be upset. When he wants us to throw that down like a bad penny, get rid of it, you know. He wants us to pick up what he's got. I say that, and I'm staying in that little thought process a little bit to let it sink in. You impact people around you probably even more than you impact your own thinking. By being sensitive to speak a word of life, a word of faith, a word of blessing, not speaking the obvious thing that's wrong. The grace of God helps empower the good. It does not point out the not so good. We let the Holy Spirit do that. I've learned a long time ago when people seek counsel and they have a problem, I like to steer them toward the Lord. Why? He knows what we need. He knows that we'll receive it better from him than from another person. Ever had anybody ask your advice and then when you gave it, they rejected it and they wanted to throw you out like the dirty laundry? It's because we're just not programmed to get it that way on our own. That takes some changing and allowing the Holy Spirit to work with us. So I've learned when there's a little reluctance, and I didn't learn it through other people. I learned it in my own self. If I'm a little slow to receive, I need a little more of God in me. I need a little more of the Holy Spirit working, because there have been people try to help me and change me and pound things into me, and they all failed because I made sure they would. Well, I don't like to take a pounding any more than you do. Nobody here likes that, right? It's not God's nature to do things that way. He waits until he's called on, and he comes alongside, and in his still small voice, he speaks something into our heart that'll make it better. When you're dealing with each other, love each other that way. When we do, it gives God opportunity to do the real work, and we get to cheer and encourage and help. My heart is glad, my countenance rejoices, and my flesh, or my body, will rest in hope. I tell my body things like that. Body, you're going to be strong. You're not going to be weak. I was very weak as a young person. You're going to be strong. Your lungs are going to be strong. You're going to breathe well. You're going to do anything and everything, any physical thing that you want to do, you're going to be able to do. There were some years ago that I was badly injured at work. It wasn't anybody's fault but my own. I was in an airport racing through the airport with 4 suitcases. It threw my back out of place, and I weighed 100 pounds more than I do now, actually 110 pounds more than I do now. Kind of a bad situation. And in that, the doctor said, you need major surgery, a number of them, before you can recover. You'll never walk right. You'll certainly never run like you should, and you will not be athletic. And I thought to myself, okay, no great loss. I've never been a super athlete anyway. But something in me said, but I don't want it to end like that. And I wouldn't say it was my greatest moment in my walk with God. I was a businessman. I was working like most people, all around the clock, working, managing other people's business. But I had sense enough to say, Holy Spirit, help me know how to think about this. I've been foolish with my body, and I talk to my body now. I say, you're going to have healthy desires, and I've reprogrammed. It's taken 10 hard years to do that. But I started back then. That's been over 20 years ago now. Well, I walked on a walker for a while. They said I wouldn't. I walked with a cane for about a year. They said I shouldn't. I've walked without one ever since, and I can run 7 miles if I want to without stopping. I do anything athletic I choose to do. I don't choose to do everything. But I do a lot of things. For an old guy. Now, I say that because you can begin to speak over your body for it to become more glorifying to God. I don't do it just for me, but I started saying to the Lord, I want to live long. I want to see 100. And a lot of people who are 80 and 90 say, you really don't. I say, I really do. You might think you don't want to, but I do. This boy wants to see that. I want to celebrate that. I want to enjoy that. I'm looking forward to that. But not just see it. I said, well, what kind of shape will you be in? I said, I'll be in great shape. And my mind will be working. And, I'll have family piled around me. And I will have finished the race that God set before me. And that's how I choose to think about it. Not defeat. Not what more limitations will I have physically. I tend to rebel at that and say, wait a minute. I'm not going to accept that in my thinking. I'm going to keep kind of fighting it. The older you get, the more you find out some things you have to fight for. Used to be easy. Used to be natural. You have to fight a little bit for it. You have to get up some morning and say, I have the energy I had when I was 40. And celebrate that. And not think too much about 20. Now, my heart is glad, my countenance rejoices, and my flesh shall also rest in hope. That means you rejuvenate my mind and body. Did you know that more of the Holy Spirit in your life will cause that to happen? Because he changes what we think about and what we say. We're about to wrap this up. I like this, and I've said this before, and said it a lot as a younger guy. For you will not leave me or my soul in hell, is what it says in the King James. Neither will you suffer your holy ones to see corruption. When I was young, I thought sin meant if you accepted Jesus in your heart and you got in sin, you'd go to hell. Why, all the old folks told me that, tried to keep me out of trouble, I think. But they weren't exactly right scripturally. When we accept Jesus into our heart, his promise is we will not go to hell, and he will help us overcome sin. That's a lot better picture. And here in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, they were afraid of hellfire if they were in sin because Jesus had not come yet. He said, we have a new and better covenant. That's not an excuse to sin. It's more of a reason not to, because we have the power of God at work in our lives. So we're going to keep talking about that here. The grace of God is not an excuse. It's a power. It's an anointing. It's the goodness of God to help us overcome where we would have been pretty hopeless without a Savior. But he's not only our Savior. He is the Lord of glory. That means he's the Lord of all victory. That means anything that he says, anything you can find in the scripture that he says he has done for you, it can be real for you. It's a matter of saying, Jesus, you are my Lord, and I am having what you did for me. I'm receiving it. We do that by faith. For you'll not leave me in hell, neither will you suffer your holy ones to see corruption. Brian, that means we won't rust out. See? That's a good thing, isn't it? There's an automotive man there. What's rust do? It destroys everything, doesn't it? And where do we live? In the rust belt.
That's right.
You know what I say? It ain't going to get on me.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people say, you're in a really hard place. When I talk to other pastors, say, oh, Illinois, they say with a zzz on the end. Illinois is a hard place spiritually. I said, well, not if you're strong, it's not. It's where you want to be. It's where the action is. It's where territory is being taken back. It's where the kingdom of God is manifesting. And many people believe this is where the power and glory of God will be poured out in the Latter-day Church, is in Illinois. Well, I tend to agree with that. It might be a little tough. You ever done anything that took a lot of doing? It was hard in the doing. Everybody around said, is it really worth it? Is it really worth having your own business? Is it really worth starting out in the chicken shed back there? Robbie, was it really worth it? And people say, is it really? Oh, look, there's no chicken shed there anymore. There's an amazing plant. What? It was worth it. But it wouldn't have been worth it to everybody else to do that. It's worth it. It was in their hearts to do together. It's a wonderful story. You ought to hear. It's a wonderful testimony. And it keeps going. Why? The goodness of God is there for us if we will allow him to be. And if you're willing to pay a little bit of price, see, God will put it in your heart and you'll be willing to pay for it. Same as if you go through the grocery store. And you've got $50 to spend. Anybody else might not buy the nice cut of meat you want. But if you want it bad enough, you'll buy that, not three bags of potato chips. Why? You've made a quality decision that for you, it is worth it. And you might cut the steak up three ways to get through three meals, but you're having steak. And that's just kind of how the goodness of God is. You make the decision for yourself and ask the helper to help you achieve it and know that God will put in your heart the desire, the appetite for what he wants you to take hold of. He'll do that for you. And he cares personally for you, and it is a personal matter. And what he wants to do for you isn't up to everybody to decide if it's good for you. It's for you to know and for God to agree with. Now, he goes on to say, you will show me the path of life. That's a good thing to be saying. And it will happen in your presence. You'll show me the path of life in your presence. I'm praying for you that when you come to church, he shows you the path of life. I'm praying for you when you come that you'll be overcome with the fullness of joy. I'm praying that when you come into this house, you'll recognize there's energy in this house. Why? We release that energy by faith. Why? We believe that giving energy to God is one of the ways that we give glory to his name. We're not going to mope around because he's not moping around. He's wanting to interact. He's wanting us to act like he does. We're supposed to be his kids. I don't know about you, but I watched my kids growing up. The more I was around them, the more they acted like me. I said, dear God, put them with their mama more. Because if you say it, they'd say it. You walk a funny way, they'd walk a funny way. I remember turning around one day, Greg followed me. He was 3 years old. We'd moved to Tennessee and on the farm, and he wanted big rubber boots like Dad wore out in the woods and out in the hayfield and all of that. So we got him some. Well, they're three sizes too big for a little boy. They didn't make it at the farm store. Had to go to the farm store, had to get the same kind as Dad, just like Dad, wear the same flannel shirt. When I'd go to the woods, I'd put on a flannel shirt because when I worked, I had to dress up all the time. So when I was at home, I did not. I'd put on a flannel shirt, my t-shirt, my jeans, and out we'd go trooping in the rubber boots. And I'd turn around and look at that kid, and he was exactly in step with me. Plop, that big old boot out there, plop, that big old. You're going to feel like that when you begin to follow God. Why? You're trying to fill a boot that you can't, but you'll grow into it. That's how faith works, is it feels awkward at first. But it starts feeling right because you're looking to the one you're following and he's doing it and you begin to mimic him. That's who Jesus is. He said, that fullness of joy is at your right hand and I will have pleasures forevermore. Pleasures forever. I don't know if you want that from the Lord, but I want to encourage you before we go. We're going to come into the year with the Lord proclaiming some things over our church. He's going to be proclaiming some things over his people. He's going to have an interactive time where you'll say, what in the world's got into Pastor? Nothing except the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God that he has for his church. I mean, he's not just going to be doing things like that around here. Are you kidding? He does love us, but he loves all of his kids. It's just a matter of we decide if we're hungry for that, if we're thirsty for that. And I learned the right time to be hungry and thirsty. If I've been to your house to eat before and I liked it, I will come hungry. You can count on it. I will come thirsty. If you've never invited me over before and you say we're having kidney pie, I will not be hungry. Don't make me that. But I want to say this. As the year progresses, if you want time with your pastors, you simply ask. And we do like to eat. We don't eat a lot. But we do like to come in fellowship. I'll say my favorite thing, just to come and have coffee with you. Talk to you. Hear what's going on in your life. There's one thing that I continually get to tell you things. But what we love best is to be able to hear from you. What God's doing in you. How we can help you and make a difference. That's the meaning of the shepherd and the sheep. If you will, this morning, you can stay seated. But I want you to just be an attitude of reverence before the Lord. To let what's been said today sink down into your core, that some part of it at least will help move you into a better place with God, a better place with people, that you can enjoy what he's talking about. He uses the word pleasures forever. That's his will. Heavenly Father, this morning as we pray, we're thankful. As we've come out, that you're loving us and speaking kindly to us and encouraging us. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this family we call a church. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that corporate good come, that the anointing come from the head, the Lord Jesus, the blessing come from the head, the Lord Jesus, of his church. That, Father, you know every area of our life that's dried out, and you're pouring in a refreshing. You know every place that's seen discouragement or loss, and you're bringing encouragement. And you're restoring what's been lost. Heavenly Father, I thank you that this will be a season as we come out of 1 year and we're celebrating what's next. We're going to walk with you and talk to you and enjoy our relationship with you. And we're going to find great pleasure, the greatest pleasure ever we've had in our relationship with the Lord. Lord, we're going to respect your boundaries and you're going to help keep us out of trouble. Lord, we're going to listen for your voice and we're going to stop and hear it. We're going to take pauses out in life to turn business off, to turn the phones off, to tell people we need a little time. Why? We've got to put you first. We've got to stop to acknowledge that you're there until we're convinced. And then we'll move forward. Father, I thank you that this will be a year of unprecedented joy in the hearts of those who serve you. Father, that there will be a turning around of many situations for the good, because we're going to listen for your direction, walk in your protection, and enjoy pleasure in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.